This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Could we make Chris the new Romano?
What about the return of Crouch? Dave, I heard a vicious rumour that you're not actually doing that well at fantasy football.
What is very, very interesting is I've actually run the numbers, Crouchy.
Have you factored in the amount of louts consumed since retirement?
Diego is a wolf.
Is the number 9 shirt still the most iconic number in football?
It'd be me, you, Mike Dean.
He's come in, he's took it, he's making a right pig's ear of it, isn't he?
Hello and welcome to another episode of That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Peter Crouch, Chris Stark and Statman Dave with me as usual. Everyone all right?
Yeah, doing very well.
Got the old tapas. I'll put that on the floor, shall I? Next to the piece of bacon that's been there for the last 3 weeks. You notice this bacon next to the light? It's been wrapped around the sort of like wire for 3 weeks now.
I reckon that might even be radioactive, Crouchy.
Yeah. The thing is, you know that it's not going to biodegrade that.
This is the part that we record the podcast in every week. It never fails to amaze us sometimes, you know, the state of it. And we love it and we'll come back every week,
mate,
you
listen,
know, because it's our part.
We could record actually somewhere else now, but it's part and parcel of what we're about now.
So we're only a couple of episodes in on this series and already you've had to apologise twice.
What were my apologies about? I remember I failed with a two-touch game in front of Paul Scholes.
Woodgate as well, wasn't it?
That was embarrassing.
Mm. And
Woody, I dragged up and he got in a bit of trouble for that and it was all me.
Yeah.
So yeah, two apologies and I stand by them.
I think it's potential for us to offer a new service for people whereby you can apologise on their behalf. Because people do shit, don't they? And if you're listening to this and you've got something that you feel Crouchy could apologise for, maybe this is the series where we just get you to do these more often, then you can do it on their behalf. I think it will
nice
help,
idea.
If anything, you know, having
Peter
Crouch.
Well, it's a nice idea, yeah. It might carry some weight. I mean, I don't know if they've done something to their boss or something, for instance, or they've made a real mistake or they've slept in, they're hungover and not gone to work. I could apologise to their boss for them.
Their boss, other half. Could be that as well, you know. Uh-huh. Could have just been, you know, and you're the master of that, actually, by the way, aren't you? Because you have, you know, you enjoy the odd late night out or whatever, and you come home, it always works out, doesn't it? You're the master of it.
I apologise, and, you know, it's bits and pieces, you know, you have to sleep in the doghouse for a little bit, but you get through it.
If that sounds useful to you, and Crouchy can apologise to someone or something or a group of people on your behalf, let us know. You can get in touch, just head to the website. Hit us up through that.
If you've not on the mind, I'd like to apologise or get Crouchy to apologise to the football community about expected goals. I think it's really angered some people and I feel bad for it. As the statistician in this crew, it's our responsibility and people just get annoyed about it. And maybe we should take it out of football again and keep it for the nerds.
See, I've gone the other way on it, Dave. I'm starting to sort of see the benefit of it a tiny bit. I'm not anti XG anymore.
Wow. Is that because of the punditry? Is that because you're forced to embrace technology and the board and things like that? You look like a dinosaur.
No,
if you don't.
I do think like I think the Prius is a bit of a weird one. That, yeah. I'm not involved. I'm not happy about that. But the XG, I can sort of get involved with. Like if you've got a donkey up front missing sitters every week, and you're putting them on a plate for him. I think it's the creation of chances is more the sort of route we should go down. Like, if you're creating that many chances, I saw a stat recently, Dave, you'd be proud of me. Payet.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, some of the stats, like chances created, top of the pile in the top five European leagues in the last like 5 years.
Yeah. He was absolutely insane at West Ham, insane at Marseille again. Just one of those players that just creates things, just consistent for his entire career.
Amazing that, though, isn't it? Mm. You know, yeah. If you think about all the creative players, even ahead of De Bruyne, chances created by about 60 chances created it was.
Yeah.
860 odd it was, Dave.
My work is done.
I don't need you anymore, Dave.
I'm out, guys.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I was really surprised by that.
Dave, I heard a vicious rumour that you're not actually doing that well at fantasy football.
Yeah, Chris, it's been embarrassing. I can't really look at myself in the mirror at the moment. I don't like to go outside much in case I get heckled by somebody. We're talking like top 2 million players. Last season, I was in the top 28,000 of players worldwide. This is embarrassing. This is pathetic.
This feels like an apology is needed.
I
don't know if you need me to step in here, Dave.
I think I do, yeah. I don't think I can even get the words out of my mouth for this.
Well, guys, it's Peter Crouch again, just on behalf of Statman Dave. And his performance this year, we've drafted him in as our stat guy. He says he knows lots about the game and in depth. And the way that the Premier League fantasy football is set out, it's all about stats. I think the only sort of thing it is stats, really. So Dave should be in the front runners of the country. At the moment, he's lagging really, really badly. He's let us down. He's let himself down. He's let his family down. And he's embarrassed. He promises me he'll be back stronger.
Good. And just on that as well, if you continue to have such poor form in fantasy football, because it is really like...
not good.
You are a public face of fantasy football. Like, you must be sweating a bit. I don't know what we do, because you can fire a manager, can't you? But when you're a one-man team, you can't really fire... Do you know what I mean? He'd have to fire himself. So I just think, and suggestions on this as well, people... I think we should set it now. If you finish outside of a certain number of people, which I think we should agree very quickly now, I think there needs to be a forfeit, unlike any other forfeit that's happened on fantasy football.
I agree. I think it's the only way, Chris. I need to learn. I've obviously not learned properly.
I think if you don't finish in the top, what's reasonable here, Dave? Be honest. In the top 100,000?
That was the number that came into my head. I think that's fair.
Okay, if you don't finish in the top 100,000 at the end of this season, which I think is actually quite generous of us, Crouchy.
It's quite tough, isn't it? A lot of people, when was that 12 million odd players?
But his literal everything he does is
his entire job. Yeah,
it's his entire thing,
like his whole existence.
His name's Statman
Dave. Yeah. Do you know what? Do you know what we should do now, right? If he loses, he's just going to have to be called Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just take it away. It's gone.
What, Dave?
How's it going, Dave?
Everything changes. Like, the website, everything. No, it's Dave.com.
All has to go. Dave.
Yeah. And I think a forfeit, unlike, like, that's genius. But something, there will be something monumental.
I'm ready to accept it, Chris. I'm not afraid of this. Yeah. I need the challenge. I feel like I got too cocky. You know, when you like win the Premier League title next season, you're like, oh, it's going to be easy.
You know, like TV moments that have happened throughout time, and they do those talking head things like, yeah, I can't believe that they wanked off a pig. Like, it will pale into insignificance. Richard Blackwood having a clonic will be nothing compared to what you will do if you finish outside the top 100,000.
Lads, I think I'm going to have to go. Agreed, Crouchy. Some research.
I very, very much agreed. Do you reckon we could get Dave on Celebrity in the Jungle?
Of course we can. Surely.
Do you think we can?
Imagine when the camera, like, you know, as it flicks through all the contestants at the start, and it's like Tony Adams swings round, and there's up pops Statman Dave. It says Statman Dave.
Is that a thing? I reckon we could do that.
I think we need to get him on one of them.
I really don't like snakes.
I reckon we make the application, right? Statman, if he finishes in the bottom, he has to go on. I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. We'll at least make the application. Yeah. We'll fill in the form.
We'll figure that out.
All so ITV, if you could get in touch with us, Statman Dave would like to come on.
Quick sidebar, just whilst I remember, I've been approached about going on Celebrity Mastermind again. You know, it happens occasionally. And I did it before. But anyway, I replied and was like, I'll do it if you let me have my specialist topic be podcasts about ex-footballers. And I'm waiting for the reply. But I saw a TBC Celebrity Mastermind go in the diary, which makes me think they might have nibbled.
Really?
But we'll see. I'll keep you updated.
Looking forward to that.
Crouchy, before we move on to the juice of this podcast, the middle part, the meat, Your rangefinder vape contraption is getting a lot of love on the YouTube comments.
Yeah, oh, good. It should do. It's a fantastic idea. Everyone who plays golf knows that you need a rangefinder and people vape on the course. It's simple. You see those big contraptions that people vape? It's like, all you got to do is put a little rangefinder in there and your job done. It's a massive idea.
Could we start getting the listeners to contribute to this, to send some designs in, and then we can go to the Dragons?
Sounds good to me.
I thought Peter Jones, has he not?
He didn't bite, no. Chris. I think he knows how good the idea was. You know, he said it himself. But then he walked off very quickly without discussing it at the end.
Mm. Okay.
Which made me think otherwise.
There's clearly a demand for it, judging by the YouTube comments. That's good. I don't really keep an eye on the YouTube comments, do you, Dave? Are you?
Yeah, I mean, in there all the time. Yeah. If you just want to check it out, go and check out the Peter Crouch podcast on YouTube. You're able to watch all the episodes there, plus a brand new clips channel.
Amazing. And you're across the comments. You read them all.
I read them all, yeah. So
please make them nice.
I'll bring them to the podcast and let you guys know.
This episode, I think it's going to be a good one. It's all about that iconic number 9 shirt.
Well, I've got a few things to raise about this, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, we're going to get into that. But Dave, you've been doing some homework.
We had some homework from last week. It was tough. I didn't sleep for 2 days. Like, I was finding out managers, captains. It's all been a blur, to be honest. But I've worked out how many captains have become managers in the Premier League.
Oh, right. And this caused you some stress, did it? It was that challenging.
For some reason, there is nowhere that says who's captain sides.
Yeah.
Like, you go on Wikipedia, and that's the usual source of information, right? Have you captained Arsenal? Yes or no? Doesn't have it in there. Then you find out that he's captain Manchester United at some point.
So what's the upshot?
I'm not asked about how you did it, Dave. Just get to... So I just want answers, Dave.
The headline stats, 50% of the managers in the Premier League were captains. 50%.
Yeah. That makes loads of sense.
Yeah.
Loads of sense. Goalkeepers.
Goalkeepers.
This is the name. This is what we need to know. There's none. 1%.
In Premier League history, 2.7% of managers were goalkeepers.
Unbelievable.
Only 7 out of 259 managers.
Right.
That's incredible.
The because obviously we attacked them last time, I did a bit of digging, and there is one manager that was a goalkeeper that won the Champions League with Marseille. Raymond Gutholz, a Belgian goalkeeper. But wow. Apart from that, not a lot of success.
Wow. So there is something weighted against goalkeepers. Do you think, in terms of managing careers?
Yeah, do you think it's a stigma against goalkeepers? Or do you think goalkeepers are shite managers?
That's a great question. I think it is a stigma. I think it's just much harder to become a manager if you've been a goalkeeper. It's like you're not taken seriously.
Why is that?
On that next
Why
level.
Is that, Chris?
Conclusion,
do you think there's a lack of respect? Like, it's not, almost as if it's not seen as a real position.
I think from our own market research, Chris, from people that we've spoke to in and around the podcast, I think there is a lack of respect. I think keepers are maybe not given the respect they deserve on the football pitch, and maybe that's translated to not doing the badges, coming back stronger and being managers.
But also they do play longer than players, don't they? So would that be a factor?
Yeah, could
like
be.
Like at 40, they might be tired of the test and the...
By the time they finish playing, to then go do the badges means you're starting and managing a bit late, right?
Yeah, but then you'd have more experience. I don't know, not as much experience as management, but you've been in the game for so long. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Well, can you find out for next week, Dave, please, what all goalkeepers go on to do with their lives in general? I want a breakdown of job by job, like if they're not getting into managing, what do they tend to get into?
Goalkeeping coach,
yeah,
obviously.
They're all goalkeeping coach.
No player. I wonder if there's ever been a player who's gone on to be a
Fantastic.
Goalkeeper coach.
This is like a new challenge every week,
isn't
it? That
is groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Imagine being a player your whole life and then going, I just really want to be a goalkeeping coach.
Do you want to be a manager? No.
A goalkeeping coach.
But why not? Because why should you have to be a goalkeeper?
Don't pigeonhole yourself in certain roles. You can do anything you want. You can be anyone
That's
you
brilliant.
Want to be. If you've been a player, I also think it's a niche market. Like, you're basically, most of the time, kicking the ball at a goal, right? So if you're a centre forward,
if
you're a centre forward, you're actually probably better than a goalkeeper at testing the goalkeeper. And do you know what? Any sort of people retiring at this, you know, Just have a think on and just think, you know, don't pigeonhole yourself in certain things. Be a goalkeeping coach.
It'd be great if they're a massive name as well. Is the money not as good for goalkeeper coach then? Because wouldn't it be great to see a huge name that's retired?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think who might be, like Milner retiring recently, like if he just goes into the goalkeeping coaching role.
I think that's quite a Milner thing to do, actually. Potentially.
It would be insane.
Do you think you can find that out?
I think we'll be able to find something, but if there's any listeners out there that know of any players that have turned into goalkeeping coaches, please help me out. Just send me a tweet or something with the information. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's important.
Right, lads, let's talk strikers. Crouchy, is the number 9 shirt still the most iconic number in football?
Oh, I don't know. This is frustrating, this one, for me. It went out a bit, didn't it? It feels like it's coming back a touch. Like, it goes in and out of fashion. I mean, this false nine stuff, like the last sort of 10 years, that, you know, Spain and Barcelona sort of were trying to kill the number 9, weren't they, for a while? And to good effect, let's be quite honest. They were fantastic. And then City have done it. You know, lots of teams have sort of played with this kind of false 9. And I don't know whether I'm being nostalgic, but I just remember growing up. And I look at the England squad now, right? And you've got Harry Kane, right? What else have you got really behind that? Well, I'm just thinking, when I went to watch the old Wembley, and there was players there, you were like, they couldn't even get anywhere near the team. And I'm talking like, we had obviously Shearer, Sheringham, but you had Fowler, Dion Dublin, you had
Andy Cole,
Ferdinand, Andy Cole, Michael Owen, just hundreds and like of centre forwards, like so many. And I just think now, like, play, like, kids don't want to be that anymore, do they? They want to be a Mo Salah, they want to be a Mane, they want to be Grealish, they want to play on the wings, and they want to cut in and shoot. And that sort of old school number 9, if you like, just a goal scorer or, a sort of tapping merchant, a hogger, a big striker, someone good in the air. I don't know. It's like, you could say maybe coming back. Like, obviously Haaland seems to be a bit of a throwback to that. Nunes is a few number 9s. Diego Costa's back in the Premier League. So yeah, maybe potentially coming back.
That's great, by the way. Let's quickly touch on that. Diego Costa back in the Premier League, when it was first sort of floating around on Twitter, when Fabrizio had done his, before it got to Here We Go, and it was like the work permit wasn't happening or something. I don't know the ins and outs, but I just wondered if he was too shithouse or something that's been rejected on those grounds. I don't know what happened, but then it got sorted and he's here. Apparently the announcement video is good. Yeah, I've not seen that.
Let's have a look at it. Do you reckon he actually held these walls?
Diego is a wolf.
Diego is a wolf.
They've got to show behind the scenes of that, haven't they? Someone's got that somewhere.
Well, you can't be. He's not actually holding Wolves, is he?
Well, what do you think he's doing? What, holding it?
Well,
just they've
superimposed it, haven't
they? I don't know, mate.
He's like, holding Wolves, surely. Just signed him. Actually got mauled to death.
I wish we could be in charge of a signing video. Do you know, it'd be great if someone let the podcast be. Because they've done it with all sorts. Football Manager, you see them, it's all been done. I'd love us to announce a player on here.
From here with the dodgy bit of bacon down in the corner.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what we'd do.
Maybe come up with something.
We'll come up with something, yeah. It'd be great to get involved. Diego Costa. Diego Costa
back in the
Premier League.
He's a proper number 9, isn't he? Like, and a shithouse of the top class shithouse. I mean, what is he going to be getting up to this year?
Red cards, goals,
you have
getting
to hope.
People sent off.
Is he still a shithouse?
Oh, he's never going to lose that, is he? You remember what time he rolled back onto the pitch after being injured to stop the play? It's absolutely beautiful.
It was good.
It's poetry in motion. I think we miss a Diego Costa. We miss a villain in the Premier League, I think, a real true villain. So I'm looking forward to it. I think he'll score goals for Wolves.
Mm.
Yeah, what about numbers-wise? It all looks good, or is it just like we've just got a great character here?
I'd say max 10.
Okay.
Max 10.
Okay, but hopefully lots of fun along the way.
Of fun.
Yeah, great.
I've got a quick one. Like, what, Fabrizio Romano, what, when did he become like the...
the guy?
The gossip Sky Sports News. When did he become bigger than
he
anyone?
Sneaked in.
How did he just sneak in?
He sneaked in and got like loads of like tap-ins and now...
But everyone tells him.
Now everyone speaks to him.
But people speak to him before anyone else.
Yeah. Well, so did Jim White miss a trick?
So Fabrizio hit a really good ride where he got loads of stuff right, loads of stuff quite early. Mm. And now people just, like, agents speak to him. So if you want to shift a player, you bring Fabrizio and say, oh, we've got this lad, what if to move? And he'll tweet about it. And you think about his reach, got over 10 million followers. Everyone in the world of football is engaged on that. So you're creating things out of it. But he basically went on a good run.
Interesting.
That could be anyone then. It could be me, you, Mike Dean. Could be
Mike
anyone.
Dean ITK would be great.
Yeah.
But listen, you know, we've got our ear to the ground now. We could we become, could we make Chris the new Romano?
I don't want it. I think I don't want that.
You don't want that.
I think there's someone that we know that we should make though. Like, get someone who's not get Barry from EastEnders. Get someone like that. Do you know him?
I have spent time with him this week.
What do you mean you spent time with him this week?
Or Sean, as he likes to be known. Yeah, I was filming something, right? And I didn't know it was with Barry, but it was. Nice guy.
Okay. Like, it never ceases to amaze me, the circles you move in. Was it golf or not?
No, it was like a series of like little ads. And he was involved. He's actually really good. He's a good actor, isn't he?
Totally.
Fantastic, actually.
But we should make him the Fabrizio. That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine it was like Barry, done deal.
I think he's too busy now at the moment. I think he's too busy. He's got his Barrioki. It's flying.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's what I mean.
Barry, great done
if,
deal.
Yeah, if it's like someone totally different, but is getting these mad calls before everyone else.
Do you know I did call him, obviously, like, I was trying to be respectful the whole time, and I was calling him Sean. And right at the end, I said, like, see you later, Barry. Aww. So I must get that all the time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This number nine thing, my experience growing up was you wanted number nine on the back of your shirt. It was like the number.
Yeah.
But I don't know if kids, maybe it changes in generations or different age groups, but then... I feel for a long period of time like number 10 is kind of probably the most popular number. And then you start entering the world of sort of Trent or like, you know, these kind of numbers that obviously mean for one player. But I mean, positional numbers.
Yeah, but it's gone, hasn't it? You know, like the 7 at the right winger and the 11 at left wing and 9 and 10 up front.
Yeah.
It's all changed, isn't it? All the numbers have gone, really. And I don't know, I'm a little bit nostalgic with it, but... A number nine couldn't be the person in the hole, you know what I mean? Or like floating about behind. It was always the focal point and the 10 would float.
Crouch, who's the most iconic number nine for you?
The one that springs to mind is Shearer. Just because that's Les Ferdinand maybe as well. But that's the one that sticks out in my mind, just being English really. Obviously like R9, Brazilian Ronaldo, but he played it sort of a different way, didn't he? Mm. He was a different kind of forward. But certainly Premier League era, I think the ones that to me are Shearer and Ferdinand, I think.
So just looking into the numbers of the Brazilian Ronaldo, what's really strange about him is he hits similarities with Messi. So when you're looking at goals after dribbles, he's reasonably close to Messi in terms of, you know, beating three players, then scoring, being a player, then scoring. Is that what stuck out with you in a sense of his game?
Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, I'll go out on a limb here. He's my favourite player of all time. Ronaldo beats everyone for me. Just everything about the way he played the game was just genius, I think. Like, I'm talking sort of like early, like Barcelona days, PSV, Brazil. But even when he was sort of Real Madrid and he was just banging in goals and he did less of what he was good at, but he still bagged like 30, you know, he was a genius.
If we're talking about number nines as, you know, this iconic, like you're arguably your best striker wears the number nine shirt. I mean, that was kind of, almost the value in shirts. Like, you've talked before about how players might do deals with each other around getting certain numbers, or you move to a club and you want a certain number. People wanted that number 9 shirt, right?
Well, yeah, even to the point where, you know, obviously it's well documented. We had Shearer on the podcast, didn't we? And we asked him about sort of asking Les Ferdinand for the number 9. Yeah. Like, that takes balls, that. You know, to go in there and go, like, the leading goal scorer, like, give me a shirt. Like, it's just pressure that if I was that player, I'd be like, you know, he's flying. Imagine just being so sure of yourself that you're just going to take that shirt off him and bang more. Like, that is, you know,
that's massive.
Like, it's huge, isn't it? Like, seriously. Like, and he already the fans love him. And I know the fans love Shearer as well because he's a local lad. And but like, having that self-belief is that's what you want in a number 9. Mm-hmm.
Crouch, you say you were at Barcelona, right? You'd signed for Barcelona. Ronaldo joins from PSV Eindhoven. You've got the number 9, and he says, Peter, I want that. What are you saying?
Well, how many goals have I scored?
Let's say you got 12 the season before.
12.
He's
One of my best seasons, Dave, yeah.
He's hoping.
I'd probably hold on to it for a year.
And then he goes and wins the Ballon d'Or, the youngest ever at 21.
And then obviously, I think I'd see him in training and go, like, mate, you can have this number, man.
If you wear a number 9, do you have to step up to be a slightly different striker? Like, is there something of a pressure that comes with that number? Maybe it's a slightly old school question because of how you talk about the respect for that number, but do you think you get given that number? Does it change your mentality of a new player and team? Like, for Haaland, do you think that's even on his mind, the fact that...
I think he just gets it. Like, if you're like, he's probably earned that already, hasn't he, at that young age? And the thing is, he's gonna make it iconic again, which is special. I saw a thing, obviously, with Chelsea recently, and the curse of the number 9. Like, them not all the number 9s that they've had since Drogba. I think, you know, I mean, listen, Torres won things, and then he did well in the Champions League, but you wouldn't class him as a legend at Chelsea, would you? I mean, I think there's been so many that I don't know, it's sort of weighed heavy, isn't it? And I think it can, I think that can weigh heavy, definitely.
What was Costa at Chelsea?
19.
No, not quite there.
It's a shithouse number, isn't it?
It's a horrible striker's number, not 99, not 14.
No, it's a shithouse number. He wants the 9, but he's just gone with... It's just,
do you think that's what it was? Do you actually think that's what it was? He's gone 19, so it's like, he's not getting the 9.
He's got the 9, so he's just gone like...
That's amazing. I didn't think of that.
Remember, was it Ivan Zamorano? Remember, he had the 18, wasn't it? Yeah. With the plus in the middle. That was quality, that was good. Do you know when I signed my name, like, obviously not my bank transactions, because I keep that very separate. You know what I'm like with fraud?
You're very careful about fraud.
Yeah, you know, I'm like with fraud.
You have to be.
So my signature's got a number 9 in it, but quite often I wasn't a number 9. I think I was 28 at QPR, and then I got the number 9 at Portsmouth, yeah. And I bagged loads there. And then I moved to Villa, I was 16. I moved to Southampton, was 14. Moved to Liverpool when I was 15. I was 25 on loan at Norwich. But the fact that I can remember them all shows you how important sort of numbers were to me, even though I changed it around quite a bit. I went to Tottenham and stayed at 15. So 15 was quite an iconic number for me.
But you kept that because you're riding a wave with that, right? Or you felt
I just got given it.
Yeah.
And then I did well in it.
Yeah.
So I just kept it.
Yeah.
But I think that's a lot of numbers...
Mm.
I think that's how they happen. You know, people just get given a number and then like they don't want to change that because they've done well in it. Like Jamie Carragher, for instance, was like, you know, 23. And then, you know, he just sort of stuck with that.
Do you think numbers should be capped past a certain point? Just to stop every player thinking they can do a 103, 88, like...
Well, like, it was Trent, 66.
66, yeah.
He's taking a piss a bit. Isn't
it? But he's guaranteeing a number that will be a brand, right?
Well, I suppose he's got that. No one else would. If someone else puts that on, go, you're copying Trent.
Yeah, I don't know the story behind the number, but I just mean it's never going to be challenged wherever he goes. I mean, obviously he's an unreal player, but it's you know, he's always going to be able to choose that number wherever he goes, right?
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, if he moved on,
yeah,
he would get that number.
you'd have to assume, unless like Costa's in there and he wouldn't that be great?
He's like, he's friends with Fabrizio Romano and he's heard that Trent's coming and he goes, I've requested the number 66.
Wolves don't challenge it, they just go whatever you want.
Did you know there's been like cases of people paying money for shirts and stuff like that?
That's, I can believe that.
Yeah, and like if you're so like a lot of the African players as well, like really like on superstitions and things like that, they'd struggle big time if they don't get the right number, or they rely on a lot of that kind of thing.
Sometimes you've had such an iconic player in that position that fans rally round and talk about retiring shirt numbers, and
that's a load of bollocks now.
Well, I do.
I also think if you do it with one, do you know what I mean?
But if you do it with one, it's fucked, because then every big player that leaves are going to insist. But
I think you have to have only played for one club.
And do you need to finish your footballing career, do you think? Like,
I do believe that.
Rather than goes for another club.
Yeah. It does make sense. Like, I know, like John Terry, to be fair, at Chelsea, that probably warrants it.
I think there's other reasons for it as well. Obviously, if, you know, there's some form of tragedy or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're taking that aside. I mean more the notion someone could get in their contract, you know, I want you to retire this number at the end, you know, like, or if like,
there's
a massive
wonder
call.
If Mbappe's got that one.
I think you come back with
probably.
You score us 999 goals and you can do what you want.
Yeah.
But I think there was a bit of a spell of it. I'm saying like a season or two ago, there was a couple of shirt retirements. I'm sorry, I'm not armed with facts on this one. But I do, I don't know. I'm a bit like you, Crouchy. I think it's exceptional circumstances. But the problem is, big players, big egos, they will always view themselves as exceptional circumstances. And
obviously that, like, Koulibaly's come in and gone, can I take the 26? JT's retired and, you know, he's come in, he's took it, and he's making a right pig's ear of it, isn't he?
You don't get that from Crouchy very often, do you?
Great. Pig's ear is a great word, isn't it? Yeah. Just feel like when you say that, it's like you made a right. It's right. It's something my mum would say, or my dad would take the piss out of me, and a right pig's ear of that, and you go, you know, you've ballsed it up.
Crouchy, you should try and get it into punditry just a bit more.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see if we can get this on the TV a bit.
Fucking hell.
Crouch, if you were to partner up with a number nine in the Premier League at the moment, from the top six sides, we're talking Haaland at City, Firmino at Liverpool, Aubameyang at Chelsea, Martial at United, Richarlison at Spurs, or Jesus at Arsenal, who would you partner up with?
Yeah, you're looking for... Like, they're not traditional number nines, there are they, other than Haaland, maybe. But if I was partnering one, it would be... I've got out of two, I think, Firmino or Jesus. Just for me personally, I just think unselfish. Players that I could play with, I think, feed off. Players that are would sacrifice themselves.
So you're talking entirely selfishly?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly right, Chris, yeah. So, I didn't get to play at that level for no reason. I think you have to be selfish, like, certainly as a number nine there. I'd entirely be... selfish in that scenario. Playing with Haaland would be great, but I don't think we'd complement each other. I think we'd get in each other's way, and he'd probably score more than me. So I think playing in that Liverpool team and having Firmino would be a dream. But having said that, playing in City's team, but I just don't think I would work well with Haaland. But Jesus is another one. I think unselfishly as a player.
Oh, I love that though. No, this is an interesting discussion. So right now, you insert Prime Crouch into Liverpool or City, or what was the other option we could have on there? Arsenal,
Spurs, United.
Okay.
The difficulty is,
what would you like to do?
I'd love to play in City's team. I would, but then I look at Liverpool's team, and like the fullbacks crossing it. And like sometimes when I see Trent's crosses, I'm like, oh, I just would absolutely love to be on the end of them.
I'm sure we could make that happen.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, like I think you should have your opportunity.
Why,
well,
could play
to
up
see.
For Liverpool one more time?
No, but I think we should get Trent putting balls into you, and it's sort of that mix of new school, old school kind of thing. Yeah, could be fun to see.
Well, I just look at him now, like his deliveries and things like that. Like, hasn't really had anyone like to bury. Loads of them, but he's still you know, the top assists all the time. And Robertson, to be fair. Both of them just swing in so many deliveries and just look at it and think, oh my God, you've only got to be in the box. And it's just, you know, there's people complicate football so much. Like actually, you know, it is a simple game. Like there are, if you, like, and I'm talking about, it's not a simple game if you're a manager. Like obviously, you know, the reason Guardiola, Klopp, these people get paid the amount of money they do, and because they're coming up with concepts and ways of playing that are new to us all, which is incredible. And it's amazing to see. But as a forward, for me personally, I sometimes see strikers like, I would be in the box 100% of the time for every single cross. And if I wasn't in for one of them or, you know, even, free kicks, when free kicks were taken, I'm not a free kick taker. I know full well that I'm just getting on the rebound. And I get 5 goals a year out of just freaking running in and like nicking a rebound. You know, that's what, for me, it was about. It was like being in a box, being between the sticks. And this sounds so old school to say that, but there is a place for that. There's a place for being in the area where the fucking ball lands.
Crouchy, overcomplicating it? You know, we've got normal nines and now we've got false nines. What's your take on the false nine?
No, I think there's a place for it though. I'm not old school. Like I do, I agree with a lot of the stuff that goes on. I think the false nines definitely, you know, listen, Spain, Barcelona, Man City have proved the fact that you don't have to play with a nine.
Do you feel towards the end of your career, because we're talking about starting 11 here as well, you know, team setups, it can all change, and using substitutes and then setting up the team in a different way. If you were playing in that Liverpool team, you know, and they don't have that, I don't want to say target, but you know, they're putting the balls in that way, then you come on, then suddenly the game plan can change and maybe suit a different game.
But yeah, but everyone has that sort of last 10 minute panic, right? And it doesn't matter how you play or what you do. At the end of the day, you've got to get ball in the box and hope something falls because you're desperate. And unfortunately, that was my role in football, was the desperation, throw him on and he'll cause carnage. And quite often I did.
I think that's massive misprofile in the back end of your career. That wouldn't be how you should be used. It's balls into feet. It's getting runners off you. It's playing to you and then playing off that. Yeah, it shouldn't be like a last minute thing.
Yeah, exactly right. But that, like towards the end of my career, like that's what I became, which is why I called it a day. I was 38, but I was still fit and I was still healthy and I didn't have any injuries and I could have gone on. I knew I could have gone on, but I was being used in that way to just cause trouble at the end of games. And I felt like I was better than that. And I didn't want to sort of like go out like that, if you know what I mean. I went out in the Premier League and I went out sort of on my terms, but I could see it sort of come in that way, and understandably so, but I just felt like I was better than that.
Well, the question is then, do you think that you might, now that we're seeing Haaland signing and, you know, the number 9 coming back, what about the return of Crouchy?
I'm game. But I think a Premier League club should take a risk on me. Like, I can't be arsed starting low down. Can't be arsed with that again.
I love it.
I should go straight in last 10.
Is it completely out of the question?
No,
in your mind?
Don't see why not. I don't think I'd be too out of shape. Like, I'm not putting on any weight. I've not, like, I'd still train. Like, I think I could come on and last 10 and cause carnage in any game.
Fucking hell. Imagine the announcement video.
we would have to be involved.
Imagine, like, we've got Fabrizio in the pocket. He announced the return of this podcast when it came back, you know, after pretty much a year's hiatus. Here we go.
He did.
Imagine.
Guys, I've done some digging here already. I knew this question was coming. So
how did you know this was coming?
What do you mean you knew? I didn't know this question was coming.
So
I just asked
the
it.
Change in expected metrics when a player moves from one league to another league. So Crouchy from England. If Crouchy moves to Germany, the Bundesliga, we'll see an uplift of 28% in terms of expected assists and expected goals.
Have you factored in the amount of louts consumed since retirement?
This is actually all based on the lout. But this kind of moves on to a question from Gareth. Now Bayern are without Lewandowski, got me thinking, if Crouchy was given a full pre-season to get fit, how many goals do you think he'll score in one season for Bayern Munich? Players in the current Bayern squad, Thomas Müller, Leroy Sané, Sadio Mane, Kingsley Coman, Joshua Kimmich, Serge Gnabry. So I'm saying we take you to the Bundesliga.
Right, so this is not performance related. You're just going bang on goals. So like, you know, I could be breathing out my arse giving the ball away every now and then, but I'd still bag 15 goals in that team, 100%.
15?
15.
What is very, very interesting is I've actually run the numbers, Crouchy.
How's he run the numbers?
The guy's like weeks ahead of us, isn't he?
How did he know we're going to ask this?
Well, we did it.
I was going to say, this was not pre-planned. It was, I was not making a comeback
before.
It
was for Dave, like some sort of clairvoyant.
So, looking at the numbers, right, Bayern Munich scored 97 goals in the Bundesliga last season as a
team. I'd get 15 of those, 100%.
You get 15 of those, right? So they created the third most expected goals in Europe, which means they create a lot of high-quality chances. Robin Lewandowski, you'll be replacing. He's off in sunny Spain. He's chilling out on in Barcelona on the Ramblers, just having a good time. His expected goals was one per game. If we take a look at your last three seasons at Stoke City when you were fit, and then we look at your overperformance for Stoke City, it equates to 16 goals you'd score in the Bundesliga.
Blimey. So I wasn't far off then, Dave. Yeah. I shouted 15 goals.
That'd be great.
So bear in mind, if Bayern need a backup striker who's guaranteed, you know, stat-wise from Dave, 16 goals... I can do it. Yeah. I'm available.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. So Bundesliga benefit from Crouchy's return. I'm just thinking the you know, the nine being back this season is potentially the season then for, if Crouch can do it, now's the time, right? Obviously age getting on, but also it's number nine, right? So a Bundesliga aside, can we just concentrate on Premier League? What club should Bournemouth, surely?
They've got Kiefer Moore, who's more of a brute. I think we put Crouch in a team like a Brighton.
Right.
Well, I do have a game against the Caddies at my golf club coming up. So, like, members v Caddies. So, I'll let you know how I get on. Maybe we'll probably know a lot more after that.
Thinking about it, big number nine up front, Mitrovic, Fulham. Maybe Crouchy goes there.
I like that suggestion.
Yeah, so what? Just like a replacement for Mitrovic? Yeah, like, so he gets injured, whatever. I'll come in for a couple of games.
That's what I mean. It's just, I think Crouchy back in the Premier League would be great. It fits for you personally. It's not too far to travel. We'd square that off, family, everything. It's all good. It depends if you're viewing this as a bit of a joke or if you're viewing this as, because I get the impression you could do a job, right?
I mean, it remains to be seen. I don't know. I think I'd have to get into training, see how I felt, and then go for it, yeah.
I think one of the things from watching your goals, Crouch, end of last season, obviously we found out that all your Premier League goals were legit. It's now in history. A lot of those goals drift into the back post, attacking the ball on the fullback.
Yeah.
That is a classic Mitrovic goal. Fulham won't have to change their style of play.
That's a good point.
Well,
you lads, put the feeders out. Get me to Fulham.
We had a massive announcement at the beginning of this series all about Crouchfest, and that is happening. It's happening at Wembley Arena, which still feels crazy to say, boys, doesn't it?
How do you tell your family about that? Oh, Mum, I'm just doing a podcast and we're doing it at Wembley.
Yeah. Well, welcome along, Dave.
It's fucking mad, isn't it?
It's a hell of an escalation, which is what this podcast has been every series that we've done it. I'm so excited. The response to it's just been massive.
It's been incredible.
And then the tickets went out. And look, obviously, there was a lot going on in it. I'm blown away. Like, it's just, we've never really done it before. And to see the response that it's had has been...
We overreached, didn't we? Let's be quite honest. But, like, there seems to be people that are up for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really going well.
It's nuts. So then it comes down to the issue of what are we actually going to put in the show? And it's great because we've had a couple of brainstorms about this, but it tends to be, you know, end of the podcast recorded. It's like, oh, we should maybe do this. We should maybe do this. And I've got to tell you that. So, you know, we've been discussing a few ideas. I don't want to give everything away, obviously, because it's meant to be a surprise. It's going to be, you know, if you're not able to get there, it's all good. Like, it's going to be an amazing podcast as well. We've going to have some special stuff planned, but I need your help with something. So, I've signed you up for something, Dave, I think, potentially. I think it's a good idea. I think you'll agree. So there was a manager who once said that, what was the phrase? Charlie Adam could
Hit a midge's dick.
Hit a midge's dick with his left foot.
From 100 yards.
From 100 yards. And I'd really like to test that out. Mm. I thought, Wembley's big enough to give that a go. So I thought, like, could we potentially get Charlie along, parched? Could we get him along and we dress Dave up as a fly and just have, like, you know, one of them schlongs between his legs? Like, I'm not selling the whole thing on this. I just thought...
No, I think it's a great idea. I mean, that's a lovely segment.
And it's basically, he slings balls at Dave.
Can I wear
dressed as a fly, and it's whether he can hit the midge's dick.
His midge's dick, yards. But like, honestly, what he could... what was the other shout I heard about him? He could peel an orange with his left foot.
Well, maybe we keep coming back to him. Like, it's just...
Could you peel an orange with your left foot?
Wembley Arena's never going to have seen anything like it.
No, definitely won't.
And we go one of two ways with this. Like, obviously, we're gonna sort some great artists. And
that's another thing that we could say has never been done at Wembley.
a midge's dick from 100 yards.
Like. You say get Charlie Adam parched at the back of the arena,
yeah,
pinging balls at Dave, who's dressed as a fly.
And he's sort of floating around, like, with a proper flopper. You know, like one of the massive schlongs you can get? Just rubber one between...
I wouldn't bank against him hitting it.
Yeah, well, and that's the kind of thing I think we should be doing.
Yeah. Well, anyone at Crouchfest that, you know, is there and to witness that, I think we can get people involved and, you know, you can win a prize if he does hit the midge stick.
Totally. So I think more ideas like that is generally the route we'd like to go down. All ideas welcome. Dave, you're up for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, why not?
And obviously we're calling in favours and speaking to musicians and bands and stuff like that. And I'm quite keen that we make a lot of it a bit of a surprise as well.
Mm.
If you put your faith in us with coming along, we'll try and repay it.
Well, that's what happened last time. Like, they put the faith in us and, listen, we are going to make this special.
Yeah, we are.
Obviously, tickets are absolutely flying off the shelves, but we've kept some back. So we're going to have a giveaway to all the listeners who deserve a treat or deserve to come to Crouchfest who can't potentially come. So if you want to get involved, let us know.
Yeah, exactly. And we can sort the admin and all of that and work out how we're going to give it away. I've had so many people get into the DMs as well. There was these great lads. Can I play you a tiny bit of a voice
note? This is good. You sent me this. I feel like this could be our first giveaway, George. I don't know if these lads deserve it because they've gone in early.
So this was a DM from a lad called Sam.
Yo, Starkey. So me and my mate, we're trying to get tickets to Crouchfest 2. Well, we're both students, we have absolutely no coin right now. Like, obviously we'll try and get something near the time, but just wondering if there's any chance you just saw, like, me and my mate a ticket.
We'll do whatever you want on stage, mate. Literally, like, arses out, whatever it takes.
We'll wear whatever, wear, like, seahorse outfit if you want, mate. We just want to, if you can just toss a ticket, I'd love it. Peace out.
Yeah, nice.
Arses like, out. What was it? Sea slug.
We'll do whatever
you
need. I would do arses out. We'll dress up as a seahorse. Like, just.
I think he's got to come as a seahorse. But it's so random. I don't know why he suggested it, but maybe, if he dresses up as a seahorse, you can come.
Yeah, maybe we sort the boys there a couple of tickets, but yeah, we need to see a seahorse in the crowd at some point. But yeah, obviously, like, if you've got ideas for stuff for Crouchfest as well, we'll work out a proper way that we can give some away. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The whole thing is just going to be wild to see how this ends up. Hopefully it will all end up okay and happening and everyone happy. And we're doing Wembley Arena. And if you can't make it, obviously we're going to have a podcast which comes from it. And that's going to be exceptional as well. So all good.
Right, guys, before we go, though, we've got to go through one of our favourite parts of the show. That, of course, is the listener adverts. Do get them sent over to peter.crouch@acast.com so we can feature you on the show. Shall we hear what we've got today, Chris?
Yes, very excited. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Neil Razor Ruddock here. And I have to say a big thank you to the boys at Forever Green Lawns. They put my artificial grass in, and I absolutely love it in the backyard. And they have the best brushes to keep it clean. Big thank you, lads. Love you forever. Lots of love, Razor. Aye, aye!
Well, where do you want to start?
Has Razor just got a brand deal out on the podcast?
Razor's got a free lawn by the sounds of it.
That's so clever, actually, isn't it? What he's done there. So he's managed to get a free lawn and obviously promised space on this podcast, which is just really nothing to do with him.
How's he managed to even get on? Like, how's he gone, right, at least you might get a discount, whatever it is. But how's he gone? He's gone, yeah, I'll get you on that, no worries. And yeah. He actually has, and he's not contacted any of us.
Yeah, I haven't had a message. Did you have a message?
No.
That is amazing, isn't it? Fair play to him.
Fair play.
So he's not really advertising something of his. He's advertising another company. I love it. Great. Well, whatever. This is what we say is there's adverts in this podcast. We always want there to be a space for one of you guys to come on and do an advert.
Just got to say thank you to Forever Green Lawns. Razor's happy and you obviously is to the pod, so good luck to you.
This is the part of the pod where we get the latest on Chris's fitness journey. Peloton are helping us out with loads of different classes, expertise with their world-class instructors and their app, which is really helping Chris get moving. Everyone knows the more exercise you do, the tighter your muscles get. So Crouchy, can you explain what the hell is going on in the pub right now?
Something I've never seen before. Chris is face down in a massage bed. And I know he's been working hard, and I know what it was like when I played football. You know, lots of aches, lots of pains, and sports massage and physiotherapy was crucial to me getting through it. And I see Chris is in a bit of pain at the moment, and hopefully we can get him through it.
That's a big part of it. We've got sports masseuse Tewo into the pub. Who's looking to help Chris with his aches and pains.
Taylor, I've noticed that Chris is sporting the Ben Sherman undergarments. What do you make of that?
Luckily, I've got a towel to cover them up.
Very good.
Please proceed.
Hold on. So the idea of this, it'll be a nice sort of relaxing one, yeah? That's what no one's asked me yet. I'll have a nice Swedish one, please. A bit weird doing this in the pub as well, isn't it? That's a vibe.
It's all part and parcel of it, Chris. You never know which way this pod's going to turn.
Imagine someone walks in, we do this is down by the toilets, right? One wrong turn, someone comes through this door, Crouchy's there, giggling away. I'm here, face down, massage.
Crouch, you want to talk us through this initial bit? We've got a bit of oil getting involved.
Application of the oil into the base of the spine. It does look tight, Dave.
It is tight.
There's nothing better than being in the medical room, you know, with the masseurs and the physios. Like, it's the hub of the club, really. Like, we used to go in there in the morning, sometimes even if I wasn't getting a massage or getting any treatment. You just want to, like, be around it.
So we moved on to the main course.
It will hurt, Chris. This is just a start.
Basically, yeah. Under the shoulder blades is where you can find all the treasures.
It's all that muscle that Peloton's been building up inside.
It's quite crunchy in here, but...
Thank you.
It will loosen.
That's not a good thing, is it? Oh.
Chris, you're looking a bit tense. What have you been doing this week on Peloton?
I've actually been doing all right. I did the full body strength class, and that was with an instructor called JJ. So let me explain how it works, Statman. What you do is the bike. You pick the thing you want to do.
So Chris, are you crying?
Pick the class. Oh, it's just a lot more. Yeah.
Has he ramped it up now?
So here's the thing: the bike they've sent. Bike Plus it has a screen on it and you can swivel that round and then you can do the classes that are there. So like my legs were feeling a bit knackered, so I thought I'd do something a little bit different. Oh, thank you. So you just flip the screen around and then it was kind of weird because actually the bike was facing out of the garden, right? So I thought, because it was quite a nice day, I flipped the screen around and then I was stood in the garden, but then I clocked the neighbour looking out the window. So I'm there doing the class just outside. I'd be keen to get his thoughts. He was doing a proper curtain twitcher sort of thing, you know?
He was peeping.
He was peeping on me, I think.
Oh.
Don't know if he listens to this.
Interesting.
Chris, Peloton are putting you through your paces at the moment. Is it easy to fit into your life?
I can do a 10-minute one day. I can do a 20-minute another day. You know what I mean? You can sort of just make it work.
Tony Bellew, should he be worried?
Well, I don't know. I'm treating this. I know you're very keen to make this competitive. I'm treating it more as a personal battle for myself. I say that, mate. It's all. It's like I'm still figuring it all out. Likewise, I don't know if he'll be doing this on his end. You know, I don't know if he's got a team of people that you're getting around me like this. You know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We're trying to give you the best possible chance to. To hold your own, you know. I'm not even asking you to beat him. I just want you to hold your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, maybe we should consider this at Crouch Fest. It's just me getting a massage. Mm. Maybe this is the show.
I'll be honest, Chris, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. I am having a massage on a podcast. It's really Alan Partridge, but it feels quite good.
Right, Crouch, it's getting a bit weird. Should we leave Chris and Tywo to finish this off?
We'll leave you to it, lads.
Where are you going to go? Because we do the podcast on the other end of this room. Is this not a spectator sport now? Just go and get yourself a pint and just watch it. Yeah. Bit weird, isn't it?
But Tywo, if you could make his back stronger, that'd be...
Great episode, boys. I feel like we're kind of rattling through this series now. You know, like you start every series and you don't really know what's going to be happening. It feels like we're really already kind of getting into the...
Oh, you get into the swing of it, don't you? I never know what's going to come out of the podcast. But yeah, number nine is something that's close to my heart and like something that has evolved over time and it feels like it's coming back a little bit, which is nice. But, you know, if it doesn't, that's fine. Football evolves all the time, like life in general. So Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba, everyone.
Chumbawamba.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.